Amen. New Life Church, welcome. It's such a privilege and an honor to have you here with us. I'm going to join my voice, and I want you to join me with me in just thanking the musicians. They're somewhere. They went backstage somewhere, but let's just give them a great hand. Some of them have been here since 6 o'clock in the morning getting ready. Not necessarily for us, but they've been here since 6 o'clock a.m. So one more time. If you didn't get a workout through worship, that's what it's about. I'm sweating already, but it's great to have you here. And I want to, again, join my voice to the announcements. Yes, New Life Kids. We've got New Life Kids. So some of you already know, you sent your kids away. They're doing great. We've got a great program. But we're here to serve you. We're here to serve you, but we're also here to serve with you. And so one of the things that happens when we're building a church like we are right now. How many of you feel like we're building? Amen? Yeah. We're building. So as we're building, we need hands, right? We need hands. Not so many managers, but a lot of hands. And so if we want to go to bi-weekly services or even weekly services, which we're going to get to, I believe that, we need your hands. We need you to come on board, especially in the area of New Life Kids. It's a privilege to serve you. And so if you want to serve at Nouvelle VOC, there's a French coming out. If you want to serve with us at New Life, we have an information session next week. So it's a membership information session. If you're interested, come in. We want to serve with you, for you, about you, all around you, and for everyone that's coming. There's also one last one, and I know Mick, thank you so much. You did a great job. Thank you so much for the announcements. There's one last thing I want to connect with you. I want to be able to connect with you. But we've got a couple of laws in the province of Quebec, right? And so you need to sign up to our newsletter. We're going to have a QR code in the back. Please, please, please sign up to our newsletter because I want to be able to connect with you, share with you thoughts, get your week started on the right foot or the left one. But we want to get you going. So thank you so much. I'm all about announcements. I love announcements. I see announcements sort of like trailers, movie trailers. Do you guys go to the movies? Yeah. All right. We tend to not go to the movies that much. Some of you have seen me or know a little bit about my past. I'm a photographer. And so I tend to live that through my children as well. And so when we watch movies, even a 3-hour, a 2-hour movie, it takes us about 5 hours to watch it. Because we're pausing every 3 minutes and my kids are like, Dad, what do you think about the light? Do you like the lighting in this scene? What do you think about the dialogue? Is the dialogue deep? Do you like the dialogue? Dad, what about the camera angles? Is this camera angle really good? And so we spend a lot of time watching a movie. So we don't go to the movies that often. But I remember back in 2017, my kids, we were all into Marvel, right? Yeah, okay. We were into Marvel and we were watching a movie and out of nowhere, and we have to get there early. My wife knows we have to get there early. And I'm always like, there's going to be a lineup. There's never a lineup. But there's going to be a lineup. We got to get there early. And so we got to the movies. And I'm excited about the trailers. So I go to the movies for the trailers. And so the lights dim down. And everything's getting all of a sudden very dramatic, very thematic. It's just a boom. And then out of nowhere, Avengers Infinity War. The whole place just erupted. We were just like, oh my goodness. And the trailer was better than the actual, I can't even remember what movie we went to see that day, but the trailer, the minute and a half trailer was better than the actual movie. And so we got home, we were Googling, we were on YouTube. We were on YouTube and we were just looking up all the trailers. And then I don't know if this is you, but this is us. especially my son, you probably saw him carrying the podium. He goes in there and he's looking for the Easter eggs. You guys know about the Easter eggs that they put in the movies? So he's looking up all the details. And so that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. That's what I want to talk to us about, the announcement. And so there are trailers that allow us to see what's coming up. What's coming up tomorrow, what's coming up in a year from now, what's coming up in 2 years from now. These are trailers, these are announcements. And so I want to talk to you guys about the announcement. I want to talk to us about the announcement, the greatest announcement. And so I want you to, if you brought your Bible, that's awesome. If you didn't bring your Bible, turn it on. Turn on your Bibles, right? You got it probably on your phone. Turn on your Bibles. We're going to go to, where are we going? We're going to Joshua. We're going to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Now, before we get to Joshua chapter 6, it's going to be on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. But before we get to Joshua chapter 6, let me just give you a little bit of a background. Just a little bit of background, a little bit of context to the story. So if you remember, the people of Israel, the Hebrews, were enslaved in Egypt. And they spent 400 years in Egypt. And then a man arose, and his name was Moses, yes. Great, we've been to church. We're going to have some church today. His name was Moses. And Moses takes the people out of Israel. And as he takes them out of Israel, he takes the Israelites out of Egypt. And they're wandering in the desert for 40 years. And as they're wandering in the desert for 40 years, eventually Moses passes away. He dies. And the next person in line was Joshua. And so Joshua is now with this great multitude, this great people, and they're about to cross the Jordan River. And so he's standing in front of the Jordan River. He has no idea what he's going to do next. A little bit like us right now. We are standing at the edge. We are standing at the edge of our promise. And God is saying, just walk through. Just walk through. And you know what led Joshua through the river? The Ark of the Covenant, which was God's presence, led Joshua through. And the river just opened up massively. And the people of Israel walked through. The Hebrews walked through the Jordan River on dry land. Same thing he did with Moses, he did with Joshua. And so I take this sort of as a prophetic word, the same way God has been with Pastor Claude and Nouvelle Vie, so he too will be with New Life Church. How many of you believe that? I believe that. I believe that what God has done, he will continue to do for us, with us, through us, around us, in us. Amen? I believe that. I strongly believe that. And so Joshua is now facing. He crossed the river. And now he's facing this great city. And you may have remembered it from Sunday school. But he's facing this great city. And this great city has these crazy walls. These huge, huge walls. And that's where we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days.'" Did you catch that? "See, I have delivered." Whoa. What do you mean, "see, I have delivered"? What I'm looking at is a wall the size of a mountain. "See, what do you want me to see? I can't get over this. You're gonna bring that down? I can't fix this. My finance, I can't. My debt is too great. My relationships are too broken. My need is too great. My anxiety just overpowers me. That glass is bigger than that wall, Selvin. I can't. God is telling me to march around that wall. And I've spent years walking around this wall. Why, God? Why hasn't it fallen? I've prayed. I've cried out. I've read my Bible. I've worshiped. I've asked you over and over and over again. But nothing. What's going on? I know. Maybe he's not listening. Or worse, maybe he just doesn't care. So as I walk around these walls, there's a song that says, walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. If you know it, sing it with me. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, but you have never failed me yet. Yes. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. And so as we're walking around and we're thinking, what's going on? His promise still stands. I know you don't see it, but something is happening. They walked around the city walls for 7 days. They walked around those walls, and nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. And so we see the walls that are just standing so immense. But then the angel of the Lord said, and if we go to Joshua chapter 6, verse 5, Joshua 6, 5, it says this, when you hear the sound, a long blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. And that's the part you remember from Sunday school, right? That's the part where we remember the walls just come tumbling down. And we were like, yay, the walls came tumbling down. And so that's the part. But do you want to know something? There is a secret here. And it says this in Joshua chapter 6, verse 10. Are you following along? Are you still with me? Joshua chapter 6, verse 10 says this. But Joshua commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout for joy. Now, I stayed there for a second. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. We were supposed to shout. Now you're telling us not to shout. And now you're telling us to shout again. So which is it? And so here's what God showed me. Look at this verse. Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Why would he give that instruction? Why would Joshua tell his people, as you walk around the walls, do it in silence? As you walk around the walls, do it in silence. And so we see, I know it's a little hard to see here, and please, this is just a rendering. It's not like the walls look like this, but watch this. We've got our people, they're walking around the walls. They're walking around the walls, and they're supposed to do it in silence. Why? Why are they supposed to do it in silence? And I felt God telling me, you're supposed to do it in silence because that's what I want you to do to the thoughts. That's what I want you to do in your heart. Just a moment ago, we were asking God, why? I've been standing, I've been walking around these walls for so long. I thought by now that they would fall, but I still see them there. Why? And God is saying, silence. Shh. Be still and know that I am God. That is what he's saying to us. Silence the thoughts. Silence the doubt. Silence the unbelief. Silence the criticism. Silence the words that you're saying against what God is saying. God says, see, I have delivered. Past tense. He has already done it. He's already done it in our lives. He said, the angel of the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have, not I am going to, not I will, I have delivered the city of Jericho into your hands. And so a lot of times what ends up happening is that we tend to speak what we see and not what he sees. We tend to declare what we feel and not what he has done. And so God is saying, do not speak. Silence. Silence your heart. Silence those thoughts. Silence your mind. And then there is a secret. So we all know the story. The walls come tumbling down, right? We all know that story. How the walls just came tumbling one on top of each other. We just know that story. But do you know why they came tumbling down? Because they shouted out for joy. They shouted out in victory. No. I mean, yes. But stay with me. There's something deeper there that God wants to announce to you. There is a secret that God has for your life. Are you ready? I'm all about secrets. I'm all about secrets and finding secrets. The Bible says that it is the pleasure of God to hide a thing, but the glory of man to find it. And so what we want to do is we want to find out what this secret is. And I don't know about you, but every time I find a secret in the Bible, I just want to share it. I want to share it with everybody. I want to share it with you. I share it with my kids. You should see some of the conversations that we have around the dinner table. Sometimes dinner gets cold and Mama Kelly gets angry because it gets cold. It gets cold, but check it out. Here is our secret. We skipped over a verse. If you're following along, you probably already picked up on it, right? We skipped over a verse. That was Joshua chapter 6, verse 4. Ready for this? here's the secret, here's the secret, but you got to follow me. You guys, you got to follow me. Here it is. Ready? All right. Have a good day. I will see you. Great. Have a good supper. No, you guys ready? Okay, one more time, but this time like new lifers. Ready? You guys ready?
Yeah.
Woo! All right, here it is. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. So, great, seven, they've got trumpets. No, hold on a second. Have seven priests carry trumpets of what? Ram's horns. Say it with me, ram's horns. Okay, we're gonna have some Bible time. We're gonna have some Bible time. I want to show you a little bit about Bible and Bible study. All right, we're gonna have a little Bible study, yes? Okay, great. There is a law when you're studying Bible. Okay, when you're studying the Bible, there's a law, there's a principle in the Bible that I want you to be very, very careful with. And it is called the principle of first mention. Anybody ever hear of that before? Principle of first mention. The principle of first mention, when we're studying the Bible, it says this. Whenever something is mentioned for the first time, it's probably significant. It's probably going to be very, very significant. So I need you to follow along here. We're gonna go back in history, back further than the walls of Jericho. We're gonna go to a man named Abraham. Abraham was a super, super old guy. Like he was ancient. He was like 70 years old. I'm sorry. My mother-in-law is almost there. I'm sorry. No. Abraham was a young man. Abraham was a young man, and God had given him a promise. And the promise was that he would bear a son. Him and his wife Sarah would bear a son. But they were past the age of having children. They were past the age of having children. Super young, but past the age of having children. And so God gives them a promise. And Abraham says, you know our situation, right? We're not really there anymore. But God says, even still, I will bless you and I will make of you a great nation. You remember that? And so when he's close to 100 years old, again, even younger, he's now given that promise and he receives the promise from God. They have their first son, Isaac. And so Isaac grows up. He's about now 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. And God says, hey, Abraham, remember that promise I gave you? I want you to give it back to me. And Abraham says, pardon me? This is the son that I've been waiting for my entire life. And you're asking for him back? What do you mean? I know this is going to sound strange for some of you, but God said to him, I want you to sacrifice your son for me. I know. Stay with me, please. If you're visiting us for the first time, just stay with us. Stay with us, please, please. I'm going somewhere with this. And so Abraham, with the heaviest heart a father could probably have, takes his son and he puts wood on his back. Trailer? He puts wood on his back. And they go up a mountain in the region of Moriah. They go up a mountain. And as they're going up, the son looks over at his dad and says, Daddy, just a quick question. I mean, I don't want to question your authority. I don't want to question your vision. But we're missing something. We're missing a sacrifice. And Abraham, with the biggest knot in his throat, says, son, God will provide for himself a a sacrifice. And so he takes his son, and together they start building this altar of sacrifice. And then the son is still probably wondering, where's the lamb? And then Abraham grabs some leather ropes, ties his son's hands together, and places him on the altar. And with the heaviest heart, he grabs his dagger. God, are you sure one last time? Are you sure this is what you want me to do? No answer. No answer. And as he's about to strike, the angel of the Lord comes up and holds his arm and says, Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. I now know that you trust me. And so Abraham fell. I imagine he fell and he said, oh my goodness, I was that close. I was that close to losing my son. And then he's got his altar all ready to go. And he turns around because he's got no more sacrifice. He turns around and he sees what? A ram caught in the thicket by its horns. A ram caught in the thicket by its horns. What does that mean? The ram, it couldn't move. It was stuck there. And that became, the Bible says that that became, if we go to Genesis 22, verse 11, it says, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son, your only son. There is so much to unpackage there that we're going to have a whole series on this, but just stay with me. Next verse, verse 13 says, Abraham looked up and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Why is that important? That's the first time we hear the word ram. What does it represent? It's a trailer to what? To what was going to happen 2,000 years later. 2,000 years after that event, there's a man on a cross who would ultimately become the sacrifice for us. And so the announcement is this. The announcement of what God is doing, those walls, the walls of Jericho, that came down because there was an announcement. So let's go back to Jericho. Let's go back to Jericho. What did the angel of the Lord say? Take 7 priests and take a ram and make a trumpet from what? From the ram. Do you think the ram is going to be, oh, you need a horn? Oh, yeah, I got two here. Boop, take one. No. The ram had to die for the priests to take it for a trumpet. The ram had to die for the priest to take it as a trumpet and use the horn as a trumpet. What does that mean? That means that is the reason. That is the reason why the walls came down. Because it is a prophetic moment. It is a moment where they are pre-announcing some special death. Do you see? Your victory and my victory, our victory is going to come not because we shout, not because we're crying out to God. Yes, that helps. Yes, pray to God. But the victory is on the announcement. What are you announcing? And so last week, we announced the death of Jesus Christ. We announced his death on the cross for us. Do you remember that last week? We had so many people over Nouvelle Vie campuses. It was amazing. And so we're announcing his death. You know when your victory is coming as the musicians start getting ready? Do you know when your victory is coming? When we start to announce the death of Jesus Christ. That by his stripes, you want victory over your health? Guess what? Announce. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen. That on the cross, he purchased it all. In fact, do you want to talk about a little past tense? On the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. Everything that you need, everything that I need was purchased and completed on the cross of Calvary. Let me just say that one more time. Everything you need. Hope where there is fear. Love where there is hatred. Peace where there is anxiety. Everything that God provided on the cross is for your deliverance. The Bible says that he is our rock and our strength and our fortress. Declare the word of God over your life. So as I silence my thoughts, I start to replace them with the word, because the word has a name, and that name is Jesus. The word has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. In fact, if you get a diagnosis, and you get that dreaded C-letter word over your life, guess what? It's just a word. There is a name that is above that name. If you get a phone call from the creditors, yeah, it hurts. I've made mistakes. But there is a name above every other name. See, God wants to give you power. Mostly, God wants to give you influence. He wants to be able to know that you trust him. That you trust him even when things look dim. Even when the walls are great. I can still declare the word of the Lord over my life. And so we declare the word of God over our lives. Declare the word of God over your life. Declare Isaiah 54. What does Isaiah 54 say? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. We can declare what Psalm 18 says. The Lord is my strength and my fortress and my deliverer. We can declare over our lives. Psalm 20 is awesome. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. And so when we start to trust in God, when we start to trust in him, and we start to see how glorious he is, we start to declare an announcement over our lives. We start to declare that he is God. He is the ruler of all the situations that I could possibly be going through. And so I don't know what situation you're going through in your lives. I don't know where you're coming from. I wish I did. But whether it's very strong, tough, rough situation, I want you to know that there is salvation. There is power in the name of Jesus for your life. There is healing in the name of Jesus for your life. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus for your life. You see, that name, it's not just a regular name. That name, the pronunciation of that name in the world, in the things that we can't see, is so powerful that God says, declare my name. Declare my name over your life. And so I want you to think about this for a second. If you've never declared the name of Jesus over your life, I want us all, let's just bow our heads just quickly. And if you've never declared the name of Jesus over your life, I want to invite you to declare his name over your life today. And so as a church, we're going to pray with you. And we're going to pray in a loud voice so you don't feel like you're the only one praying. But let's pray. If this is you, if this is the first time you're going to say this prayer, please repeat after me. Lord Jesus, everyone, the whole church, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing me here. Thank you for this word. I believe now that you died on the cross for my sins, for my deliverance, for my salvation, for my healing, for all of my needs. And I believe and I declare with my mouth that on the third day, you rose in victory. And those walls are coming down. Those walls of fear are coming down. Those walls of anxiety are coming down. And so I accept you into my life. I accept you into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Stand to your feet with me.